Now, those are the basic pieces of this. So let's look at how that comes to play in a few traditional nozzle styles. These were developed over time as much for producibility as for their hydrodynamics. In the 1930s and 40s and 50s, of course, we didn't have the analytical tools that we do now, so we didn't really have a way to observe hydrodynamics on a low level. We had model testing, of course, and we could look at flow, but we were really not able to break it down into the detail that we can today. So the developers at the time had a basic idea about shape. They tested comparatively or qualitatively different nozzles against each other, and they found what worked and what worked better than the others. So two very traditional nozzles that came out of this are the 19A and the 37. And while the initial work on nozzles, as I mentioned, done by Kort and others in the 1930s, we really have to look at the Netherland Ship Model Base and NSMB, now Marin, through the 1950s, 60s, and 70s as a incredibly significant contributor to the knowledge and the development of the use of nozzles for ducted propeller applications. Now, we can characterize traditional nozzles, or all nozzles for that matter, into two parts. Accelerating nozzles, which we have high tow-pull at low speeds. That's their objective, is to develop high tow-pull at low speeds. The 19A and the 37 are two examples of that. And I put the 33 here and a decelerating nozzle just as a reference. I'm not going to speak any more about it, but its purpose actually is for high-speed applications at low noise. Its inflow is going to be very horizontal. But its purpose here is actually to develop higher pressures inside the nozzle so that it can carry higher thrust without cavitating. We see these kinds of applications on torpedoes, devices that are called pump jets, for example. Multiple blade sets, many times with pre- and post-swirl stators. But they are a hydrodynamic nozzle. They're wrapped, but their purpose is very different than an accelerating nozzle. Now, as we move away from traditional designs, we go into more contemporary nozzle styles. Before I do that, let me back up and speak just briefly about the difference between the 19A and the 37. Really, the difference that you'll see here is on the diverging part. The 19A has a very much a producible geometry. It's got a cylindrical wear ring. It's got a conical exterior. It's got nose and tail radii that were based on round bars. And then it has a conical discharge. So as little complex curvature as possible into this, very much cylinders, cones, round bar pieces. And it was kind of determined that a 3.5 degree discharge was sort of an ideal circumstance. Well, that really was derivative of the fact that there was a sharp transition between the diverging cone on the nozzle discharge and the cylindrical wear ring that you would have over the top of the propeller itself. When you actually have a smoother transition, like you see here with the 37, you could actually maintain more curvature without any risk of separation. Now, this allowed for a heavier loading on the propeller, actually, and to allow for a greater divergence, a greater reduction in velocity, and a little bit of development of additional pressures onto a face that actually became a contributing piece to the total thrust. The original design intent was to create almost a nose in backend, but and kind of an accidental benefit was that the 37 actually provides better thrust making capability overall than the 19A, with some exceptions at the various high speed conditions. So for our own work, for example, I can't remember when's the last time we actually specified or designed a 19A. We would actually recommend, if somebody wanted a producible nozzle, to consider a 37 right from the get-go.